Welcome to Section 9. My name's Damien Hull.
And I'm Dorothy. And today, Damien's going to talk about Metasploit, what it is, when to use it, and some basic commands. He's also going to talk about CVEs. So let's start with Metasploit. What is it?
So Metasploit is software that's used for pen testing or penetration testing. And this is where you break into systems and try to gain access. And we're doing this in a test environment. And we don't recommend you use any of these tools in a production environment unless you fully understand how to use them and you're authorized to do so, because you can actually do some damage and get yourself into a lot of trouble by doing that. So we just want to put that out there.
So why are you trying to learn Metasploit?
So I'm trying to learn Metasploit because it's software that allows you to hack into systems. And I want to try and understand at least a little bit how the hackers break into systems. And by doing that and understanding some of that, I can use that information to help me secure my own systems and keep my organization safe. And then I'm also trying to learn this because, as I said before, I'm trying to or thinking about going to take the SANS master's degree, and they may require me to understand how to use Metasploit. And if I do that ahead of time, that's going to be, you know, I'm going to be better off by doing that.
Well, that was part of the project that you're working on. You want to learn certain tools so when you go for your master's, you don't have to really stop and take the time to learn it. So,
right.
You know, that's good. So what are the things that you found about Metasploit that were different? Well, let me back up. I know you told me a story when you went into SANS training and you had an experience with Metasploit. Why don't you share that?
So we had a lab in one of my classes where we were trying to break into one of these systems. And I thought, okay, well, I'm going to try to use Metasploit to do this. And so I fired it up, got the GUI going, because in the past, when I've used Metasploit, I've used Armitage, which is the GUI front end to Metasploit. There's commands, and then there's the GUI. And so I got it up and running, you know, point and click to get the scan of the network going, found all the hosts on the network, and then I tried to attack a specific system. And in the past, I've done this with older versions of Windows 7, and it was relatively easy because you just did you told it to do a hack of the system by pointing and clicking. There's even a command or a thing that you can click on in the GUI called the Hail Mary attack. And basically what that does is it takes all of the exploit code or tries all of these different attacks based on the information it has. So for example, if it's a Windows 7 system and it finds certain vulnerabilities in there, it's going to try to use the code necessary to break into that system. And then if it does break in, it lets you know. So that's what I tried to do because that's all I knew how to do with Metasploit. And in my case, it didn't work. And so I said, okay, well, what's going on here? What's wrong? Why isn't this working the way I'm expecting it to? And that's when I quickly realized that I didn't understand enough about the tool to make it work for me. Because there's a command line interface. But how do you use that? I don't know the necessary commands to be able to make this function. And so that's why, in that particular case, it didn't work.
But I don't think it's that you didn't understand. You probably just didn't know enough about the tool to be able to do it, to have it do what it needed to do.
Exactly. So there's, you know, and that's the whole point of learning these tools, is that when you need to use them, in order for them to work for you, you have to understand at least something about them and how they work behind the scenes to make them function properly. So like in my case, pointing and clicking is not understanding how the tool works.
Right. I mean, you know, and one of the things that I hear, you know, from other people as well as, you know, some of our friends, is that sometimes the GUI doesn't have everything that the command line may have. So you're kind of limiting yourself also, you know, if you don't understand the command line by just what the GUI can do. Did you find that to be the case? Or
I'm not entirely sure yet what the GUI offers versus the command line. I think there are some things that I could have done on the command line that might have helped me, or at least understanding what goes on behind the scenes with the command line interface might have helped me make this thing work properly.
So that was your experience then. Tell us what you're doing right now to learn Metasploit and what you found.
So we talked before about that Kali Linux book.
Correct.
And they have information on Metasploit, and they walk you through the process of learning Metasploit. And I'm in the beginning stages there. So in this particular case, they are telling me, or, you know, if you're reading this thing, it talks about the search command, right? So what you're going to do in Kali Linux is you're going to open up a command line interface and, you know, your console window, and you're going to type in MSF console. And that's going to bring up Metasploit in command line only mode, which is something I recommend you do. There may be some things you have to do to get it running if it's the first time you've done this. And you can search online for videos on how to do that. Setting up Metasploit's pretty basic. It's not that difficult. You watch the video, set it up. And once it's up and running, you get that command line interface. And now the question is, well, what do I type in there? So the book said to start out with the search command. That's what they have you sort of learn how to use. So you can type in help search, and it gives you basic information about the help or the search function. And one of the things I noticed in there were this ability to search for CVEs.
Remind everybody what a CVE is.
So that's the common vulnerabilities and exposures. And the CVEs are just an ID or a way of identifying a specific vulnerability. So when we talk about things like WannaCry, right? That's malware that's going to get on the system and do something. In this case, it's ransomware. There's other, you know, malware out there that allows the hacker to gain access to the system and do stuff, right?
Sure.
And in the past, when I've used Metasploit, I was able to break into a Windows 7 system, and you could see the desktop, you could see the files, you could turn on the webcam. So there's some pretty scary stuff that's a part of Metasploit and things you can do with these vulnerable systems. So the question here is, why are we searching for the CVEs within Metasploit? And what you want to do is you want to take the exploit database that you have and match it up with the vulnerability that you have. So for example,
let me ask you this before you go on. I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt. So Metasploit has a database?
Right. So inside Metasploit is a database of exploit code. And so you want to pick the right exploit for the vulnerability that you have. So here's an example, and this is something that we've done in the past, right? We have OpenVAS, and we were trying to learn how to do some vulnerability scanning, right?
Right.
One of the things that we found in there that was kind of confusing to us is the CVEs. We ran into that when we did our scans, and it would say, okay, here's a vulnerability, here's a CVE number. And you could click on those and learn more about that particular vulnerability. And we were looking at that and going, okay, we don't understand what this is all about. And we kind of left it there. So in this particular case, I've got to learn something about CVEs. So for example, the CVE for WannaCrypt is going to talk about a vulnerability in Microsoft's SMB protocol. That's what WannaCrypt or WannaCry is taking advantage of to get itself installed on that system and then present you with ransomware.
So that is the information the CVE told you, that the vulnerability was on the SMB?
Correct. Okay. And it's kind of a roundabout way that I kind of found this information out. So when I did a search for WannaCry or WannaCrypt, there were websites that talked about the CVE numbers, and then it also went into this Microsoft Security Bulletin. And basically what all of these things are for is to explain what the actual vulnerability is. Now, the hard part here is that it doesn't necessarily say, okay, here's a CVE, here's the exploit code. Okay. They're not linked to each other. So sometimes when you look at the CVE, there's no reference to WannaCry. And there were some things I clicked on different websites where there was more detail, and then I actually did see something in there about WannaCry or WannaCrypt. So it's kind of hard to relate the two to an actual exploit code. And that's where your Metasploit comes into play. So if you want to know if there's exploit code for a particular vulnerability, you can run Metasploit, type in search, the CVE number.
Oh, cool.
And then it will actually let you know if there's any code within Metasploit that you can use to take advantage of that particular vulnerability.
Wow, that's kind of cool. And what about this Microsoft Security Bulletin? Would you be able to search for that as well in Metasploit? Or
you can. So in the case of WannaCrypt, there is MS-17 Dash 010, and you can actually type in search the number and then you're good to go, and then it will actually show you the code necessary to take advantage of that.
Nice.
And the Microsoft Security Bulletin is similar to the CVE. It's just something that Microsoft puts out, and it's going to have similar information. It's going to talk about the vulnerability in the version of SMB that's part of all of this WannaCry, WannaCrypt thing. But again, it may not mention anything about the WannaCry or WannaCrypt. These are things that are focusing on the actual vulnerability itself and not necessarily the exploit code.
But if it tells you, let's say, the version of the SMB, you can actually take a look at what version you have on your system and do your patches, right?
Correct. So there's some commands. I think you brought that up. There's some commands that can be typed in Windows that tell you what version of SMB you have.
I just wanted to see if they had a way of trying to check that out. So, you know, we can put those in the show notes.
We can put those in the show notes. But as you can see, you know, here we're trying to learn Metasploit, and then we got to do CVE, so we got to do the Microsoft Bulletin. And then I also ran into this thing called the CWE, which is the Common Weakness Enumeration.
Oh, wow.
And I'm not entirely sure what that is. So we're going to have to do more research on that. But I do have some examples here.
So where did you find that at?
So I went to us-cert.gov, which is that website we've talked about in the past where you can find out, you know, in the past week, what vulnerabilities have come out, right? What are the new ones that we should be paying attention to?
Okay.
And they rate them, you know, high, medium, low.
Right. I really like that website. It's actually really nice because it tells you about the vulnerability and where it's at, what system and everything.
And they have it for everything. So they'll talk about, you know, Adobe products, Microsoft products, Windows 7, you know, Windows 10, all of that stuff in there.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to the website because I was trying to figure out CVEs and all this other stuff. And I remembered they had something on that. And then when you actually look at the database or the listing they have, there's a CVE number associated with that vulnerability. And you click on that, and that's where you get that additional information.
Oh, and that's what you were looking for. Okay.
And so I was trying to use the website to learn more about all this stuff. And so I have a couple examples here.
That's where you run into this common weakness enumeration, the CWE?
Yeah. So let's go through some of my examples here. So we have the DB Power U818A Wi-Fi quadcopter drone. So this kind of confusing here, but basically what I did was I went to the website, and on the front page they had some, you know, new vulnerabilities that you could click on and learn more about right on the front page. So I clicked on the drone one. And that was interesting because that's where I learned about that, the CWE. And there was some other stuff in there. And then it also had the CVE number for that particular vulnerability. So let me see if I can pull up my notes for this one. So this one is for a quadcopter drone. So we're talking about a drone. And when I went to go click on this, there was another number that came up. It's this vulnerability note with a VU number. So we'll have that in the show notes as well. But as you can see, you know, trying to learn Metasploit, you get all this stuff that goes with it. Now, on this particular vulnerability here, since we're trying to learn how to hack into systems and how these vulnerabilities work, this one is for a drone that has an access point on it. And we'll look at here at the overview here. So all of these things, the CVE, the CWE, all of this stuff is there to give you as much information as possible on these different exploits, or not the exploits, but the vulnerabilities and how these vulnerabilities work. So the overview here says the DB Power U818A Wi-Fi quadcopter drone provides FTP access over its own local access point and allows full file permissions to the anonymous user. So what that means is that there's an access point that you connect to, and then there's an FTP server on the actual quadcopter. And FTP, at least in the past, had this anonymous user. And you would just use anonymous and log in with that. And the whole idea behind it was that for things that you wanted to share with the public, they could just log in as anonymous, have access to that, and they would be fine. And then for anything else, you would keep that secure by requiring an actual username and password. In this case, the drone is actually allowing you full access with that anonymous user. So there's a camera on there and you can, you know, record stuff with that. And then if somebody else were able to access the drone over that access point, they would be able to access all the files on that system, including your videos.
Wow.
So another one that I looked at was for, let's see here. It's a vulnerability note here. And this, it says here, Space Coast Credit Union SCCU mobile for Android and iPhone fails to properly validate SSL certificates. So this one allows people to do a man-in-the-middle attack with an SSL certificate, and the mobile app will accept it even though it's not the correct certificate.
So you're telling me that you have a mobile app on your phone for, let's say this is your bank, and it will accept any certificate?
Right. So this is the way the man-in-the-middle attack might actually work. And you have tools in Kali Linux to actually do this.
Hmm.
So you set up a wireless access point, the mobile app connects to that wireless access point, and then you have a way of redirecting traffic through your hacker system. And then on your hacker system, you're going to put up a website. And the website's going to have access to the bank or whatever it is. And I'm not entirely sure exactly how all of this works, but somehow you're going to have to create that either the website or some sort of access that goes through your hacker system, your laptop, to the actual bank, so that when the person opens up the app on their phone, they connect to your wireless access point, go through your hacker system, you have an SSL certificate there, and basically what you're doing is it's kind of like a proxy. All the traffic goes through your laptop, it gets decrypted, and then re-encrypted when it goes back out to the actual bank's website.
Wow.
Then you get to see all that unencrypted traffic, so you may even be able to get information like username and password to log in yourself.
So in the same way we have access to the CVEs and this CWE and the Microsoft Security Bulletin, so do the hackers.
Yes, the hackers have access to all this stuff.
Wow.
So that's the reason why I want to learn all of this, because the hackers are actually using some of this information as well. And by knowing where to find this information and how to use the exploit database within Metasploit, it's going to help me understand how they do that, and then I can try to find ways of protecting my organization so the hackers can't actually get in.
Well, you know what I find interesting is, you know, we continue to talk about we start on a project and starts as a small thing, small as wanting to learn how to use Metasploit. And you know, you're finding out that in order for you to be able to use this tool, you know, you got the CVEs, you know, you have the Microsoft Security Bulletin, you have this CWEs and what have you. So now it's turning into doing all this research to be able to use the database with the correct code for the correct exploit. So it's a good thing you're doing this now before you do your master's degree, because if you had to spend this kind of time while you're trying to do a master's degree, trying to learn just the one tool, I don't know how you could do it, you know?
Yeah. Now, one thing that I was thinking about as I went through all of this, and we're, you know, kind of mentioned it in the beginning, you know, when would you use this?
Right.
In my case, I don't see myself ever using this at work. And the reason for that is that, one, I have to really understand how the tool works before it makes any sense for me to use it. And I don't think I'm there yet.
Hmm.
And two, it's penetration testing software. And unless I'm going to have to do a penetration test on an actual system to see if I can break in, then there's no real reason for me to use it. So, for example, we have ping and traceroute. When do we use those? We use those all the time.
Right.
Anytime somebody says, hey, I don't think I have internet access, we use them. Anytime you're trying to see if you have connectivity to a particular system, we're going to use that. If we want to try to see if we have access to a specific network, we might use traceroute to do that as well. So these are tools that you're going to use on a regular basis. Pen testing is not something people do every day. You know, it's only at specific times do you use that, and in very specific use cases. So as I'm going through the Kali Linux book that you got us, I'm looking at these applications and trying to figure out, okay, when would I use this and how useful is this actual application going to be for me? So we talked about ReconNG, we talked about Shodan. While I'm not actually focusing on those at the moment, I think that those are tools that, while I may not use them every day, but because they're there and I can use them to find out information about my own network, my right. own organization, and see what's out there for the hackers to gather. That's, you know, that's where they do their recon.
Oh, that's big, though. That is big.
You know, they may be able to find out email addresses of
employees. What ports you have open.
Exactly.
The vulnerabilities on the operating systems that you're using, you know, all those kind of things. So.
Right, right. So they're going to gather the necessary information they need to begin their attack. So that's information that's going to be useful. Now, where does Kali Linux or Metasploit fit into that whole big picture? Again, I think it's going to be useful for me to understand how to make my systems more secure. And I think the process of learning how this tool functions and then having to go through the CVEs and all these other things, that itself is useful for me to understand, okay, we have all this information out there. I've never really spent any time to try to learn how to understand the information and be able to use it. And even though I haven't done a whole lot with Metasploit, just the fact that I went through and learned what CVEs are and the Microsoft bulletins and the CWEs and all of that, I think that's huge, because now I can go there and you know, as we were talking about with your ping and trace route, how do you gather necessary information out of it? How do you read that information to make it useful? In my case, how do I read the CVE, the Microsoft bulletins, the CWEs, and how do I pull out relevant information?
Right.
And use that to secure my systems.
Well, and bottom line, if you don't know how vulnerable your network is or what vulnerabilities you do have, how are you going to defend it, you know?
Right, right. So, you know, if we do a scan with our OpenVAS and we get the CVEs, now we have some way of reading that and pulling out relevant information. As we talked about, looking for the software version, like the SMB version, and seeing if that matches. If it does match, maybe we have a vulnerability. It's time to make sure we get the patches installed.
Correct. Well, that's pretty good, though. You got your hands full with this project, but and your work cut out for you, but it sounds pretty exciting.
Yeah, and I think the next thing that I'm going to have to do here, and I don't know where the book is going to go with this, but you know, in just playing around with some of the commands, once you pick the exploit code you want to use for the vulnerability that's on that system, there's options that have to be added into that. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, how those exploits or that exploit code is actually used when you attack a system.
Nice.
Do you have anything else?
I don't. Do you?
I think that's it. If you want to take a look at our show notes, you can check that out at section9.us. And then if you want to send us an email, you can do so at info@section9.us.
Thank you so much for listening.
Thanks for listening.